I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to Orange and Blue Bloods, hosted by EJ Stewart and Tommy Beer. Let's get to it, New York.
One of the teams as we move to the trade deadline, and we'll talk about Kyrie in a bit, but one of the teams pegged as potential sellers at this trade deadline is the Utah Jazz, and we're hearing more of the Knicks' interest in some of their key players. We've talked a lot about Lee Beasley, but now another player has been added to those conversations. So Michael Scott of Hoops Hype reported that the Knicks and Jazz have had discussions about a deal that would send Obi Toppin and Evan Fournier to Utah in exchange for Malik Beasley and Jared Vanderbilt. Scott says the Jazz are seeking a first-round pick for each of their veterans. And he's not the only one reporting that. Jake Fisher is reporting that as well, that apparently the Jazz see all their veterans on their team. They think they're all each worth at least one first-round pick. So in this trade, I guess the Knicks are trying to sell the Jazz that Toppin could be the equivalent of a first-round pick being sent to Utah. But right now in the negotiations, according to Scotto, the Knicks have been hesitant to attach a first-round pick to move off Fournier's contract. Because in this deal, the Knicks will have to get give up two first-round picks to get both Beasley and Vanderbilt. I mentioned that Fisher said that, you know, as well, that both these players are deemed to be first-round values by the Utah Jazz. He says there have been similar trade packages involving Beasley and Vanderbilt, not just with the Knicks, but also with Atlanta and Portland. So do you like the idea of a Vanderbilt-Beasley package coming to New York?
I think it makes sense in a certain respect. You know, as I've kind of said over the last few weeks, if I'm the Knicks, unfortunately, I think they're going to move Obi Toppin. I think it's probably at this point, if you're not going to play, even last night when the rest of the bench, you know, when Fournier played 24 and McBride 23, Obi still only played 13 minutes. You know, with Randall and the attached at the hip with the head coach, it's just hard to envision a role. You know, if Randall's healthy and Thibodeau's in town, there's not an opportunity for Obi to prove himself. And we're just not going to find out what player he is. That only gets more complicated as we enter the offseason when Obi's extension eligible. How much there's two questions there. Is Obi Toppin worth a considerable $40 million extension, $50 million extension? Maybe. But, you know, does he have that type of upside to be a player to return value on that contract? Potentially, but we don't really know. But more importantly, you can't give that much money to a player that's going to average 12 minutes a night. Randall's in the first year of a 4-year contract extension. You know, he's not going anywhere. Assuming the Knicks are content. If you're going to trade Toppin, you should trade him now. In the offseason, his value is going to decrease a little bit from where it is right now. If you wait until next February's deadline, then you're really in trouble, because we saw, you know, the Wizards, for instance, traded Rui Hachimura, a guy who's averaged 14 points per game for his career and, you know, 28 minutes a night.
Yeah.
Certainly has produced more, you know, has more production on his resume, far more than Obi Toppin, and the Wizards got, you know, 3 second rounders back. If the Knicks end up using the 8th overall selection on a National College Player of the Year, and 4 years later have 3 second rounders, you know, to show for it, that's not ideal asset management. So again, part of this whole thing is asset management. You have an asset that has some value, so I expect them to shop Toppin, heavily in the next 3 days. As far as this particular deal is concerned, it makes sense because Vanderbilt's going to give you some defensive versatility. you know, a 6'9 forward, can guard the four, can guard the five a little bit, can guard the three a little bit. You know, certainly not an offensive stud, averages 6 points for his career, but isn't inefficient, you know, 58% shooter, below average three pointer. You don't want him taking too many threes, 63% free throw shooter. He's going to get hit, you know, he's going to make his bones on the defensive end, you know, as a connector offensively. And, you know, there's value there for a player that's going to come off the bench for you and you know, as a role player. Beasley is going to provide the Knicks with offensive, you know, sharpshooting, you know, basically a younger version of Evan Fournier. On the season, Beasley is shooting, averaging 13.5 points and 3.1 made three-pointers in 27 minutes a night, shooting 40% from the floor, which you don't love. Basically league average, 36% from downtown. He has 1 year left on his contract, set to make $16.5 million. So if you're going to move those pieces, I think that's the type of you know, players you're probably going to, you know, get in return. Some upside there. Beasley can get hot and give you 25, you know, won't shock you if he gives you 25 points on any given night. Vanderbilt is a Tibbs type guy, just in terms of his approach, energy, effort, mentality, defensive first guy. To me, it all comes down to the draft capital attached. Even if it is a first round pick and or a, you know, multiple first round picks, depending if they hold on to Obi. If they get a player, if they trade for Vanderbilt, I assume Obi's gone, because it makes no sense to keep right. Obi and have Vanderbilt. To me, it all comes down to the draft capital. And if it's first round pick and or picks, it's all about protections. We know that all first round picks are not created equal. Obviously, the Knicks shouldn't even be entertaining any of their unprotected first rounders in 2027 or 2029 right. or even 2025. If they want to include one of the Wizards pick they have coming back, the Bucks pick they have coming back, that certainly makes more sense. I'm willing to listen. But it's important to note the Knicks and Jazz were on the 1 yard line on the Donovan Mitchell deal, which essentially broke down because the Knicks wanted to have top five protections on one of the first round picks they were sending to Utah. So, you know, there's not a great vibe between Danny Ainge, Utah, and the Knicks. We'll see if that has, you know, if that ice has thawed a little bit. But again, Ainge is notorious for trying to extract as much as possible. So my sense is that it will come down to those protections, and we'll see if either side budges.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to this deal that's proposed, I don't love it personally. It's not necessarily, I'll be honest. I've always been a big Obi Toppin fan. If you put me, you go to my head and say, who's my favorite player on this team, is probably Obi Toppin. I understand the reality of the situation, his inability to get on the court because of the situation the Knicks have as a roster, where you have Randall as your star player and him playing at such a high level. So I understand that his days are seem to be numbered. With that being said, I don't really quite understand the concept of bringing Vanderbilt in if you're going to replace Obi Toppin with the guy, because considering the way the Knicks play offensively, they're, you know, Obi Toppin has turned himself into a pretty decent shooter. So if you're going to put Vanderbilt in that position.
Incredibly, Toppin has more three-pointers, 53-pointers, than two-point field goals this season, 49.
Yeah.
That's a reflection on the Knicks coaching staff poorly using an incredibly athletic, dynamic player who averaged 20 points a game for Dayton. But that's the end of there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's the way they've used him. So if you're bringing in Vanderbilt, who's going to play the Obi Toppin role, I mean, if Vanderbilt's going to stand in the corner, he's not giving you anything offensively. Now, I like Vanderbilt in a vacuum. I liked Vanderbilt. I was at Summer League a couple years ago, and he might have been playing with OKC. I forgot who he was, but I remember kind of watching him like, this kid Vanderbilt, I know he played at Kentucky. He didn't play a lot there, but really athletic, rangy, could defend. Like, I was very impressed with him. So I haven't been surprised that, you know, he's gotten now a lot of time playing in Minnesota, now playing in Utah. Like, I like him as a player. I just look at him on his team. Defensively, I see where he can add some value. But as a five-man, he offers no rim protection. So I don't know if Tibbs is going to be willing to play small ball five with him. And then, you know, while he's a good defensive player, offensively, like I said, he can't really shoot. I mean, he's shooting 33% from three this year, but that's on very low volume. He's not typically a shooter. So I don't really feel like you need to take him back in this deal. Like, you're trying to get Beasley, I understand. But I really wasn't interested in Vanderbilt for this team based on how the Knicks are constructing and how they play offensive basketball. Beasley, I understand, and I think that he's a guy the Knicks should be targeting. The first-round pick thing is going to be interesting because we still really know. It's so weird with the Knicks. It's like we know their plan, but we don't exactly know their plan. So we know they value these picks because they feel like they can package them all to get a star. So whenever I hear Malik Beasley, you're saying, okay, you know, will we attach the first-round pick for him? I'm like, I mean, does this hurt your chances of getting whatever future star you're trying to get? I know you have a ton of first-round picks, but, like, if this has any a chance of halting that, I would not make the trade. But if that's not the case, you tell me, okay, things have changed and maybe there isn't a star coming down the pike, then, I mean, definitely not any of those unprotected picks or any of your own picks. But if you want to give up again the Milwaukee pick, one of those Detroit picks, whatever, I mean, at that point, maybe why not? But that was the thing for me when I saw this was I understand Beasley. Vanderbilt, I understand because of, like, the type of player he is, like, again, the defense, things like that, he definitely would fit in with Tibbs in that regard. I just think he'd be used terribly on this team, just like Obi Toppin had been used terribly. So that was my trouble with this trade.
Yeah, I mean, I think Vanderbilt, the idea is you get a guy that doesn't need offense. And, you know, that's right, basically the way they're using Obi, you know, 13 minutes a night. You know, if he gets a couple shots, great. You know, I think he had two field goal attempts. Vanderbilt, he's not going to stretch the floor, and you're probably not going to put him in the corner. Maybe stays in the dunker spot. But just basically stay out of the way. Let our guys who we want to feed offensively get their shots up, you know, whether it's Randall, whether it's Grimes or, you know, RJ or IQ or Brunson, who was ever playing, you know, with that group. And Vanderbilt would potentially be more content to be less of an offensive threat in that sense. So I see what you're saying. If you know, right now you have Obi standing in the corner, basically, you know, trying to draw his defender out away from the rim, whereas the whoever's defending
Vanderbilt, you're letting him shoot.
You're letting him shoot. Your weak side helping all day. You're basically one foot in the paint, one foot outside, and if he takes a three, you're happy with that offensive possession. So that could be an issue. It's certainly not an ideal marriage. But in a sense, it could be. It would make more sense for him to play that role than kind of misusing Obi. If I'm the Jazz or another team, I love the idea of getting Toppin in house. And finding out what type of player he can be, because I think he's been badly mismanaged by New York since the minute he arrived. So you're basically, I'd much rather have Obi than a top 10 protected pick or, you know, whatever the case might be. I just think there's a lot there. Not only is he going to contribute down the road, but he's going to contribute immediately. I just think there's a ton of untapped potential right there and upside that I'd love to kind of uncover and roll the dice on.
And it's funny because, like, when I think about it, like, of all the teams Obi Toppin could go to, I would not want to see Danny Ainge get the possibility of unlocking the player that we think Obi Toppin could be. That would definitely not be good news for a lot of Knicks fans. So we'll see what happens. An interesting trade rumor, nonetheless. I think the fact that we keep hearing the Knicks attached to Beasley tells me that they're very interested. Now, will a deal happen? It may come down to that first round pick and whether or not they're willing to attach to Fournier. And I don't think I would do it, but again, they do need scoring punch. So unless there's not another option anywhere else in terms of getting a guy who can come off the bench and shoot, I know they're looking at Sadiq Bey. You would think maybe Bey will probably also need, you probably have to attach a protected first for him too. So should be interesting to follow nonetheless when it comes to the Knicks trade situation with Beasley, some of these other guys.
One last point on Vanderbilt, very team friendly contracts, making $4.6 million next season, 1 year left on his deal. So that's, anytime you get a rotation player making less than $5 million, that's great. And one other thing in terms of the whole, you don't want to give up first round picks because you want that massive pick package that you can send off for a star. Again, I think there is value there, especially a team-friendly contract on Vanderbilt and even Beasley at $16.5 million. It's not bad. If I'm a team that's trading Devin Booker or Karl Anthony Towns, whoever that next star is, just throwing names out, whoever that next star is that demands a trade, if I'm Minnesota or Phoenix or whoever, I'd probably prefer Vanderbilt on a team-friendly contract. Even if you don't want the player immediately, you can flip him to another team for, for another. So there is, just because the Knicks, it's important to keep in mind over the next 3 days, just because if the Knicks do package some of these picks and again, they need to consolidate them in some way, shape, or form. If they do consolidate them for a player, that doesn't preclude them from including that player that they've now received for a star in July or August or next December, whatever it is.
That is absolutely a fair point and needs to be addressed. So thank you, of course, for putting that out there as well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.